And so tonight I'm going to bring something I was in Thailand and I got on a train car and every time you get on one of the SkyTrain, you hear this, and I'm going to play this if I can find it real quick, and then we'll turn to the scripture, and hopefully I'll hold it right here. Hopefully you can understand this. Let me turn the volume up. But it could be English. All right, could you hear that? It said we're at Bang Su Station, and it said, please mind the gap between the train and the platform. And when I heard that, the Lord just really spoke to me about something. And so tonight, I want to bring a message on mind the gap. Mind the gap. So if you would, get your Bible, open up to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, and look at chapter number 13. If you would, let's stand as we read this passage of Scripture in 1 Samuel 13. Now look with me at verse number 8. It says, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. So how many days was it?
Seven.
Days. This is what the man of God said. It would be 7 days. All right. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Now, most of us know this passage of scripture. It was not the king's place to offer the burnt offering. Now, Samuel said, I'll be there in 7 days. Now, what happened to Saul? He got tired of waiting for Samuel. And now, if you'll notice in verse number 10, and it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And so Samuel came at the exact time that he said he would. And there on that 7th day, now it might have been a little bit later in the 7th day than what Saul wanted, but he came at the right exact time that he said he would. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal. I have not made supplication unto the Lord. Do you ever notice how sometimes we make wrong sound spiritual? If God will, then God willed nothing. And so we always seem to make doing what we want to do sound a little more spiritual. And that's what he did here. And he said, I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. I mean, it was tough, but I went ahead and did it. And I offered this, I needed to do it. And I just made myself do that. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever? Now, stop just a moment there. This is very intriguing to me. Samuel basically said God had plans to establish you and your kingdom forever. That's what he planned on doing. He would have. But now look at verse 14. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. God would have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. God had some plans for you. God was ready to put forth those plans. But You did something foolish.
Yeah.
And now because of the foolishness, this next verse says, your kingdom shall not continue. I mean, I say this, and we'll have prayer here. Every day, we're in the midst of battles all the time.
Yes.
And the decision processes that we make during those times are very vital. Just one wrong thing. One little aspect of our life. One wrong direction. One wrong decision. And here, this king, God said, I was going to do something great. I was going to do something that was forever, but not now, because you've acted foolishly. So tonight, I want to preach on mind the gap. And let's pray. Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, more than anything, we need to hear from you.
Yes.
And we need your word. We need your spirit to work upon our hearts, upon our lives, and in our minds, and in our hearts, to in such a way that our lives would honor you and please you. And I pray tonight, do something special for each of us. Speak to us. Guide us. Give wisdom to us tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And be seated. You remember Saul. You remember whenever Israel asked for a king? And you remember when when the time came and he told Samuel, he said, wait a minute, you know who I am. I'm just a Benjaminite. My family is just the least of the least. I mean, who am I? And you remember when they actually went to find him? You remember he was hiding? He was just so backward and humble. And of course, you know, one place in the scripture, God told Saul, when thou wast little in thine own eyes. Saul was anointed, and he wouldn't even share that being anointed with his uncle. I mean, Saul was a very humble man, chosen to be the first king. God brought him to a place, worked in his life, and then he made a very foolish decision. Now, what happened to him was simply this. There was a time that he was told to wait, and he did not mind that time period properly. So when I say mind the gap, and that little thing that you heard just a moment ago, that phrase was coined in 1968 in United Kingdom. The platforms were very curved and there was a large gap. When you were stepping off the platform to get onto the train, if you didn't mind the gap, you could fall into that gap and be injured. It is the moving one from one platform to another. It's a time period where danger lurks as you move from one platform to another. In Perth, Western Australia, one guy did not mind the gap. His foot got trapped in that gap area. The passengers were all asked to stand on one side of the train, but it didn't work. They were trying to tilt it. So finally, 50 of those passengers got off the train and 50 of them pushed forward to tilt it enough for him to get his leg out of that gap area. This is what he said. He said, it wasn't something that I thought about or took serious. I thought it was a bit of a joke, he said, but now not so much of a joke. One lady broke her leg in multiple places that fell through that gap. God said he would have established his kingdom forever. But there was a time period between the time that Samuel said, I'll get there, and to the time period that he actually got there. All Saul had to do was to mind the gap between the time that Samuel was not there to the time that Samuel would be there. That's all he had to do. And his kingdom would have been established forever if he would just mind that gap. So let me just say a few things. And again, this is the shorter message of the two. But so let me suggest and give a few things of minding the gap. First of all, we need to mind the gap in times of temptation. You may be on a platform where temptation has come. And I'll tell you this, I don't care who you are. The Bible said Satan is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's got your number, and there's going to be a time that you're going to be tempted. But look, the temptation will not last forever. All right? You're going to be tempted, but you'll move off that platform. It won't last a long period of time, and you'll go to another platform where the temptation is not there, but you need to mind that time period between the time that you have the temptation and it's not there. I remember reading, some of you remember John R. Rice, when I was just a teenager, I had surrendered to preach, and John R. Rice, that's all everybody ever knew where I was from, is Sword of the Lord books. And I remember him telling a story about he was down in Texas, I believe it was, and some man rode up to him in a wheelchair and began to pull on his leg and his coat. He said, sir, can I ask you a question? And he said, sure. He said, is 5 minutes with a woman worth not having my legs and my life being completely ruined? Was it worth it? And John R. Rice said, no, sir, it wasn't worth it. I want you to understand something. You're going to have some great temptation. And it's important that you mind that time period very, very carefully. Mind the gap in times of temptation. Let me say nextly, mind the gap when you lack understanding. Okay? Now, there's times that I understand what's going on, and then there's times when I don't understand what's happening. Anybody ever have those times? Man, what in the world's going on? I don't know about you guys who are like this, but sometimes we'll have a missions conference and, man, everything is going great. The Spirit's good. All's going on. But then I get scared. It's like it's going too good. I mean, anybody ever do that? You're like, this is spooky. You know, what, the bottom's going to fall out. I mean, it can't last like this, you know. But there's a lot of times that I've said, Lord, what's going on? Why is this happening? I want to tell you something. There's a temptation to not mind that properly. There's a temptation to make some decisions. Some years ago, and I may share a few things tomorrow with the preachers, but some years ago in a church, I had a very troubled church that God called me to. It was very troubled. It was so troubled that I wanted to leave. And I wanted out of there. I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't understand why the people behaved the way they were behaving. I didn't understand the things. I mean, listen, when your wife's going to bed crying every night, man, that gets to you, man. Amen. And I told God, I said, man, I'm finished here. And I started, there were some churches that were looking for some pastors. So I went to one and preached in view of a call. And I politely told the church, I'm just taking a little trip. You know how we are. We don't tell all the truth, all right? We don't lie, but we don't give all the truth, all right? And matter of fact, Brother Matthew, I don't know. You know Brother Barnes, Stephen Barnes, and his mom and dad. Now, the church where they were in Missouri, that church asked us to come in view of a call there. And so whenever I preached, and the church voted for me to come. But along the way, I said, boy, I can't wait to get out of here now. This church wants me to come. And God said, go ahead. And it didn't sound good when he said it that way. I said, was that like a go ahead and go, it's okay? Or is that a go ahead, not okay, go ahead?
Yeah.
And then God clarified for her, that's a go ahead and go, I'm just not going with you.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you.
Yeah.
I don't want to be anywhere where God's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
If you want to go, have at it, but I'm not going with you.
Yeah.
See, I was about to make a decision in a time that I didn't understand what was going on. And you better be careful during those times. You better mind that gap. Now you'll get back on the platform where, hey, it's all right. Everything is smooth sailing and you understand. But while you're on that platform, you better be careful. Some years ago, I got a call. I'm one of eight kids. We grew up on a farm. We had about 100 milking cows. We had 13,000 laying hens, and it was all we knew was farming. And my little brother, he had got inside this machine. I don't know if you've seen them. The big round bales of hay, you know what they are? Those big ones, you know. Now, me growing up, those things didn't exist at that time. Man, we had to bale hay with those and load up those square bales. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, I throwed a mini. I told my wife when we got married, I said, man, I was it, man. I could pick up a bale in this hand and one in this hand and toss them both on the wagon. And of course I was just trying to wow her, you know. And one day we're driving in the car and she said, I don't get this. And she, you don't get what? I don't understand, because she's a city slicker. And she said, I don't understand. I said, I don't understand why. You said you could take one bale in one hand, one bale in the other hand. And we're talking about 2 years later, that conversation. And you could throw them both on the wagon. I said, yeah. I said, those things look pretty big. I looked out, there's big old round bales, you know. I said, not those bales, you know. but my little brother, there's a machine that takes those big round bales of hay. And it threshes them up, and then it threshes them out to the cows. You can feed the cows with that. And he was inside this machine, and he was cleaning it. It was broken. It wasn't working right. And a farmhand did not know that he was inside of that. And so while he was in there, he heard the tractor start. Now, there's a door on the side of this thing that it's controlled by the hydraulics. My little brother, when he heard the tractor start, he said, I've got to get out of this machine. He doesn't know I'm in here. But while he was trying to get out that door, the farmhand pulled the lever and closed the door down on his body. It hit him in the center area. When I got the call, they said, if you want to see your little brother alive, you need to get to the hospital. And I got on the first plane I could, flew to St. Louis, got there, and there he was. They'd already given him 40-some units of blood. They did multiple operations. They'd removed all of his intestines. They broke his pelvic bone, broke his back in two, and mangled all of his intestines. They said he's probably not going to make it. But he lived the next day, the next day. Finally, after several months, multiple operations, they finally put him on a jet and flew him out to Colorado. There's a place out there. What's the Superman guy's name? He broke his neck. Christopher Reeves. It's the same place where Christopher Reeves went. They flew my little brother out there. And so each one of the brothers and sisters agreed to go out and spend 1 week with him. And it just so happened the week I flew out there, I was there the week that they were trying to teach him how to use that colostomy bag. He didn't have any intestines, so he'd have to wear that bag the rest of his life. He'd be paralyzed for the rest of his life. And they were teaching him how to do that. And I was in the room, and somehow that thing came loose. And, man, the room just stunk. I mean, it was just awful. And all of a sudden, I'll never forget this. He looked at me, and he said, Ken, why? Why? One day my life is normal, and now I'm paralyzed. Now I've got to wear this bag the rest of my life. Why? I want to tell you something. That's a time we don't understand. And boy, those times we don't understand. Now, travel down the road about 5 years. I went up to visit him. All my family was up in Illinois. And I'd forgotten about that conversation. But he looked at me. He was in his wheelchair. And he looked at me and said, hey, Kevin, I know why I said, you do? Yeah, I know why. He said, tell me why. He said, I have to go to rehab every week. And there's guys that come in there. One of them was a football player that had broke his neck. And they had to come in there and said, who do you think would be able to witness to some of these people other than somebody like me? He said, I know why God put me here now. I want to tell you something, folks. There's going to be times you're going to say, why? But there'll come a time that you might. But in the middle of that time, you need to mind the gap. You need to mind the gap in times of sorrow, when you're grieving. Mind the gap. A good friend of mine, been a good friend of mine since I was a teenager. He was actually, some of you may know, an evangelist by the name of Tim Lee. Tim Lee was, he was my pastor for a year, and I was in his Christian school for 2 years. And one time he told me this, and I thought this is really good. He said, never make a decision when you're on a high or when you're on a low. Always make it when you're in between. If you make it when you're on a high, you're possibly going to make the wrong decision. If you make it on a low, you're probably going to make the wrong decision. What was he saying? When you're on in times of sorrow, mind the gap. Be careful what you do in times of sorrow. Be careful what you do and mind the gap in times of loneliness. Well, I don't know. Sometimes, pastors, it can be a lonely life out there. Sometimes situations happen. And you get very lonely. I have three sisters. All three of my sisters have attempted suicide. All three of them. Two of them took overdoses of pills. I've made two trips home. My little sister, I was there. They pumped her stomach out. She took an overdose to kill herself. One of my sisters took a razor blade and cut her wrist to lay back and die because of the sorrow and the loneliness they were feeling. I want to tell you something. That's, you better mind that gap in times of loneliness. Mind the gap when you've been wronged. Mind the gap. Mind the gap. You're going to be wronged. But mind that gap. Mind the gap when God doesn't speak to you. You know, there's enough for you to do. The Bible gives you enough to do. That if God didn't speak to you from now until death, you got enough to do in His Word. Amen? But mind the gap when it just seems dry. I mean, be careful what you do in the time. Listen, there's going to come a time. And I don't know if you guys, I've had times when, man, it just seemed as dry as everything. Some of you know Bobby Robinson, pastor in Walker there. And I was going through a really hard time. And I went to, somebody invited me to go to one of the conferences. Maybe it was the South. I'm not sure what it was called, but Bobby Robinson was there. And he preached on the will of God. And he told us some stories, man. I mean, how his church split. And all the people went down the road and started another work debt-free. And he was only 20-some years of age, and he had a heart attack. And he had to get on nerve medicine. And he said for 3 years, he entered the pulpit for 3 years. He didn't want to. And he would be on nerve pills and vomiting before he got to the pulpit for 3 years. But he stayed with it. He kept on going. And boy, God opened up the doors of that work and blessed that work. But when you get to those times, mind the gap. Be careful to mind that gap. Mind the gap in times of discouragement. Mind the gap. And so let me give you real quickly, and I'm almost finished. All right. This is a short one tonight. All right. How are we going to mind the gap? All right. When you're going through these times of period, from one platform to the other platform, while you're on that platform and you're going to be moving to that platform, it's a very dangerous time period that to mind the gap. Now, how do we need to mind the gap? Let me give you a couple of things. First of all, mind the gap with thoughts of your salvation.
Amen.
Listen, nothing will do you any good like taking a trip back to when God saved you.
Amen.
Go down that road. Boy, if you're in a time when it seems like you don't understand anything, just go back and remember Calvary. Amen?
Amen.
And remember when you were saved. All right. Take a trip down that road. And that'll do your heart good wherever you're at. If you're in time of temptation, just go back and say, boy, I'm going to start thinking about my salvation when God saved me. And mind the gap with thoughts of your salvation.
Amen.
Next of all, let me say this. Mind the gap with scriptures. Scriptures. I was having a real hard time. Honestly, I don't know how many times, sometimes I had a guy ask me. I was preaching in Kentucky one time, and a preacher there had some kind of a Shell Oil guy there. And he took me out to see the place. And he said, hey, preacher. He said, you ever want to quit? I said, yeah. I said, when? I said, every Monday. And he just laughed. And of course, it was very unusual. He said, how many kids you have? I said, I have four. And right now, they're all teenagers. And they were all teenagers. I had four kids in 5 years. And he looked at the secretary and said, give that man $1,000. And I thought he was joking. Secretary walked up and said, who do I make this out to? I said, man, are you for real? And wrote me a check for $1,000 right there in the office there. I was going through a really hard time. And it was one of those times where, man, people were doing some stuff that was wrong, saying stuff. And I was going down the road, and I was really one of those time periods. I said, man, God, I don't know if I can take all this. And you know what happened? It's a scripture that I memorized when I was a teenager. He said, blessed are ye when men will revile you, persecute you, and so say all manner of evil against you, false surprise, like so persecuted they the prophets before you. For great is your reward in heaven. You know what happened to me? I was at a time that I was just ready to throw it in. And all of a sudden, I'm going down the road thinking about that scripture. And God said, for great is your reward in heaven. And all of a sudden, I was having a shouting spell. It turned from pity to shouting, man. Woo! And now, when anybody does something I feel that's wrong, not right, I say, thank you very much. Thank you so much. Man, chalk down one more reward for in heaven for me. You know, it's amazing what the scriptures can do for you.
Amen.
How they can help you.
Amen.
And when you're on that platform. Amen. Man, when I was 16 years of age, I had surrendered to preach already. But I started getting away from the Lord. And I was going to a public high school at that time. And I got invited to one of these parties. And I knew I shouldn't go there. I'd already been saved. But I wasn't really all in yet. And I went, and they had the wrong music. I knew I shouldn't have been there. Some of them were drinking. I didn't drink. But I had a girlfriend by the name of Lisa. And about midnight, all the couples there began to just kind of break away. And me and Lisa found ourselves in the hay barn. Again, we're a bunch of farmers around there. Got up in the hay barn, sitting on the hay bale. And all of a sudden, Lisa wanted to do something that I knew that I shouldn't do.
Come on, yeah.
And I was there, and all of a sudden, while I was there, you wouldn't believe what happened in this time of temptation. And buddy, I was tempted. I was 16 years old. I was tempted. You won't believe what happened. All of a sudden, a scripture came up that my preacher had preached on at one time. He said, till a dart strike through your liver.
Yes.
Watch out for that woman that flatters with her lip.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I don't want liver disease. And I jumped away. I literally did. Lisa looked at me and said, what's wrong? I said, I can't do this.
Amen.
She said, why not? I said, man, I don't want liver disease. She said, what?
Yeah,
man, I hightailed out of there.
Amen.
I want to tell you something, folks.
Amen.
That Bible.
Yeah.
That Bible will help you out in times of the gap time. It'll help you through those times.
Amen.
Mind the gap.
Amen.
Man, get your mind full of the Word of God.
Amen.
Mind the gap with the Scriptures.
Good.
Let me give you the last one. Mind the gap with thoughts of the second coming. When you'll see Jesus again. I think maybe it's some of the greatest words that we could ever hear in our life. When we hear the sweet words. Well done, thou good.
Yes.
And faithful servant.
Yes.
You keep your mind on that second coming. Keep your mind when you'll see Jesus.
Amen.
You'll go through some hard times. But mind that hard time with thoughts of the second coming.
Yes, right.
The thoughts of the Savior. And seeing the Savior. I'll close here. In the 90s, I have a good friend by the name of Matthew Henry. He's an Indian man. He's from India, and he lost his sending church a few years back. We became his sending church. When I started pastoring him, I asked him if he wanted to be, but that church had been the sending church for him and his daddy-in-law for 50 years. But as what happens, a lot of churches change. Call new pastors, changes, Bible changes, spirit changes, get fleshly. Anyway, I don't want to go on there, but it changes. And he's a good friend of mine. He kept inviting me to come to India. And I'd never been out of the country before. Let me make a suggestion that India not be the first country you go to. And you go. That was in the 90s, and things are a little different now, but he invited me to come to India, and I was excited. I'd never been out of the country, and so I last-minute phone call with him and trying to figure out what clothes do I take and all kinds of stuff. He said, oh, yeah. I said, what? He said, don't forget to bring some toilet paper. I said, toilet paper? He said, yeah, we don't have any toilet paper in India. I said, what do you use if you don't have toilet paper? I mean, it's called the left hand and water. That's why Indians don't eat. They may be left-handed, but they don't eat with their left hand. And I said, you don't have no toilet paper? He said, no. I thought, my word. So I grabbed a four-pack of Charmin, threw it in the suitcase, and I was got to thinking, man, I'm going to be staying for 21 days. I said, I better add another four-pack. I don't want to be using a left hand. I threw that second four-pack in, and I backed away a little bit, and I got to thinking, Indian food is awful spicy. What if I have stomach problems? I kid you not, you guys, my wife, all of a sudden I had one suitcase, nothing but toilet paper. I'm sure when if the TSA inspected that, they said, whoa, this guy got some real serious issues, man. Whole suitcase full of toilet paper. I got into India, and I don't know how to describe all this, but I was up in a place called Dandapalle. My brother here, he's been to Vijayawada and Visakhapatnam and all those areas, but Dandapalle is a little smaller area, and I was staying there with this farmer there. And by the way, I had my four-pack of Charmin sitting there on the coffee table, and this Indian guy picked up one of the loose rolls I had, and he picked it up, and he looked at it, looking through it, turned it over. I guess he'd never seen a roll of toilet paper. And then he starts squeezing it. I almost said, don't squeeze the Charmin, buddy. But I didn't, and he wouldn't understand it. And then he starts speaking and telling you. And Matthew and my friends going, they're going back. I said, man, what roll is he saying? He's asking what it was. And I said, you tell him what it was? Yeah. I said, what did he say? He said, that's gross. I said, well, you tell him. I think using this is gross, man. That's gross. But they didn't have any shower out there. I mean, I had to every morning get up and start a fire and put a bucket of water out there and heat some water up. And then you get in, and they had this little room, and it's just a door. It had like here and to here. It had nothing above there, nothing below that. Now, I'm a little self-conscious. You don't have clothes on, and people are like, hey, how you doing in there? Like, you can see my face. I mean, this is not right, man. heating water up, and then you take a shower. They don't use them. You go to a hotel, has a shower, but when it sprays, it goes like that, two of them. And the rest of them are clogged up because they don't use them. And then there's no hot water. And then we're at this restaurant, and that Indian food kicked in. And I said, where's the bathroom? And I had to go down an alley. Dad, go down this alley, take a right, then take a left, and the second door on the right. And I got in there. And you have to roll your pant leg up because you splash through water.
Yeah.
And then it's a squatty potty.
Yep.
Anybody know what a squatty potty is?
Yeah.
I mean, you put like 1 foot here, 1 foot there. And there's nothing to sit on. I've never seen one of those in my life. I found out you can't even read a newspaper. I mean, you can't keep your balance. You're like, you're everything you can. You put all your energy into just staying stable. You can't do anything. And, man, I mean, I was there for 21 days using squatty potties. And then you use it. It doesn't have like, whoosh. You know, there's like a little pot over here, and it's like, how do you flush these things? I mean, there's no instructions.
Right.
I mean, I would be like, poosh, nothing happened. You know, and they'd have these little tanks over here that they'd have them full, but it'd take me a half a tank just to flush the thing because I didn't know how to do it. Then the food. I'm not big on curry. And then when I came home, my wife said I smelled like curry for 30 days. It's oozing out my pores. I mean, look, they don't have like food like we have. I mean, it's just like it's all kinds of stuff in a pot. I'm an anti-gristle person.
Yeah.
I can't eat McDonald's sausage because there's gristles in the I find the gristles. My wife will eat it. She said, I don't want to find gristles. I said, because you swallow the whole thing whole. I chew my food. And then they serve you all this food, and it's like, it's just, I mean, I'm a pizza hamburger guy. I mean, and Brother Barnes went with us one time, or several times to India, went with me, Stephen Barnes. And he was just like, man, I need some American food. And we saw a big billboard that said pizza. And then I got my phone out, and I was dialing that number. A guy pulled up in one of those little tuk-tuks, and he said, what are you doing? He said, they've been closed for 2 years. I said, no. We just want some American food. And, man, I tell you, it was just after the squatty potties, the food. You know what I did? I got my calendar out. I looked at the day we're going to board the plane. I circled it. I said, I'll be going home that day. I circled it. And every day, we pass by, I put a big X. Next day, it's getting closer. I'm going to be going home. Getting closer. You know what I found out? I mean, that squatty potty hat thought he triumphed over me. I stepped, said, I'm going home someday, soon. I stepped on that thing, said, you ain't got me, I got you now. I got home. I'm not joking about this. This is honest truth. You can ask my wife. I got home. It was almost midnight. I'd never been away from home like this. My kids were out there. My wife was out there. And one of the church members dropped me off. My wife ran over and said, come here. I said, no. She said, huh? I said, just a minute. I have to do something else first. She said, what? It's no joke. I mean, I was crazy, actually. I mean, I was so glad to be home. I ran into the bathroom. I grabbed the toilet. My wife came around and said, what are you doing? I said, quiet. I need some quiet time. I said, I'm so thankful for you. My wife said, what is wrong? I said, I've missed you. I'm sorry if I've ever neglected you in any way. I'll keep you clean. And I said, okay, honey, I'll kiss you now. Come here. You know what kept me going? I'm going home. You know what keeps me going now? I'm going home. We're going home soon. Now you mind that gap with thoughts of when you're going to see Jesus again. You said, well, it's temptation. All right. It's not always going to be there, but you start thinking about Jesus.
Amen.
Said, well, preacher, I'm really discouraged. Okay, I understand. But you keep your mind on the scripture. While you're on that platform, you keep your mind. You'll get off that platform. There'll be a time that you won't be discouraged. But while you're there, you keep your mind on God and on the scripture and on your salvation and on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it'll help you through that time. And you won't become a Saul that God said, I would have done something with your life. But you did something foolish in that gap time. Mind that gap. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed.